Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
All right, party people, welcome back to Zero Dark Nerdy, the world's most notorious pop culture podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, betonline.ag, municipal, the best sport utility gear on the planet, yesweekly.com, and of course, our good friends over at Sailfish Comics with three locations here in North Carolina, one right here in Greensboro, right across from Best Buy, one in Winston-Salem, and one in Concord, North Carolina. This is your boy, Brian, a.k.a. El Nino, and today I'm joined with
Rihanna, a.k.a. Riri, or SD Ray, whatever you prefer, calling in from Carlsbad, California.
As well. And Tim Howell, a.k.a. TP Howell on all your socials and games and whatnots, a.k.a. the not-so-macho man.
looks like you're coming to us from the Richmond locker room there, Tim.
Yeah, they had a recent opening in their staff, so they called me in.
Are you the assistant to the assistant to the equipment manager?
That's right, yep.
There you go.
Assistant two.
There you go. So if you haven't noticed by now, we are going to be talking about one of the best shows to come out in a long time. Ted Lasso, wrapping up for now. Question mark. Yep. It did not say series finale. It said season finale. So, we're going to be talking about some highs, some lows, just overall thoughts and go from there. So, Tim, you haven't been on in a while. We miss you. You know, for just a little backstory, Tim and Rihanna were on our season one review of Ted Lasso, I believe. Right. Or was it season two? Maybe season two.
Maybe season one.
When you're over 200 episodes, yeah. They all just blend together. So we've done a Ted Lasso episode together. So I thought it was only fitting to bring the original crew back to talk about this final season. And let me tell you, it's gets you in the feels all over the place. All over the place. And I will say this: anytime you hear Cat Stevens comes on, it's you just break out the tissues, break out the napkins, yep. Paper towels. Yep. If you need to run to the bathroom and grab some toilet paper, whenever you hear Cat Stevens come on, you know waterworks are about to happen. So, Tim, why don't you just give us, general feedback on what your impression was of, this third and hopefully not final season of Ted Lasso.
Hopefully. Yeah. I'll admit I am underly critical of this show because I love it so much. Uh-huh. It's like Ted Lasso can do no wrong.
Right.
That said, I got some questions about this season.
Okay.
It seemed like they wanted to do a lot, and then we're like, we don't have time to really flesh this out. So
right.
We're just going to drop it. But overall, I mean, it was great. I've kind of started to rewatch it a little bit, and you know, when you're looking for Easter eggs, they're a lot easier to find. So especially the last episode's full of stuff. Overall, loved it. Some questionable things, but loved it.
All right.
Yeah, I felt the same way. Like a lot of the episodes, it seemed like they were going to drag it out longer. And then all of a sudden it was just like a resolution, like showed up very quickly. Like same thing, like with the whole Nate storyline. That was like, it was fine again. But I was like, hey, I kind of wanted, like, you know what I mean? I kind of wanted there to be more like depth to that whole transition from like, you know, from leaving and coming back. And it just seemed like it was like, oh, well, we're just going to give him a second chance and forgive him and everything's fine.
BetOnline.ag is your number one source for all your basketball info, stats, news, and scores. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest player reports for this year's pro basketball playoffs. BetOnline is your sports information headquarters this season as we have you covered for all your sports wagering needs. Basketball, MLB, NHL hockey, right to UFC and boxing. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info, including live betting options and your favorite casino, as well as card games that you can play right from your home. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Be sure to use our promo code BELIEVE, that is BLEAV, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Like, even watching the final episode, as great of a story as it is, seeing Nate come back, and I did feel that, like, the last 20 minutes was totally rushed. It was like, okay, we're taking care of this, that, and like everything else that you can imagine, we're taking care of in the next 20 minutes. And, you know, some of my big question marks, and, you know, I guess I'll go ahead and start with this. Am I the only one that thought Rebecca was pregnant, like, the entire season, and she ended up not being pregnant? Like, am I the only one that was fooled by that, or call me crazy?
There were all those. So she's on the phone with the doctor, and she's like, "Oh, that's what I thought." And it was like, "Whoa, is she pregnant, or is she? Can she not? Or we don't know." They didn't tell us, and so I noticed that a lot this season. There's a lot of, "Well, what happened there?"
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I think watching it again with those questions, I think it's intentional.
Gotcha.
Like, for example, the very end. Do we need a spoiler alert, or is that again?
Oh, I mean, that's a given. We're 5 years in now. People don't realize there's spoilers ahead. There's something wrong.
Seeing the very end, seeing Keeley with, so she's sitting next to Jamie and Roy,
right?
But she's got Roy's niece, and it was like, oh, are they just friends? Did they get? It's like, choose your own adventure. You can pick what you want to happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Nate, I was like, this whole season is going to be Nate's, like, redemption.
Right.
Yeah.
And it kind of came in and out, and then was like, oh, he just quit. Okay. Kind of the same point, and I might need to get some tinfoil hats out for this. This might be too much, but Rupert, all season, you're like waiting for him to get his, like, comeuppance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I guess he does. I mean, his wife leaves him. His secretary outs him.
Right.
He gets called a wanker. By his favorite football club.
Yeah.
Like, he gets embarrassed, but it didn't feel like enough.
Right.
And I was telling my friend about this, and I started to think, because it immediately goes back to the match, and they're winning, and they're, you know. And it's a real Ted Lasso thing to not relish in someone else's misery,
right?
But focus on the joy and get. And I was like, man, even like a real meta moment, I feel like, because it's like, he got it. Oh, it's over. Okay, we're moving on.
Yeah, we're going to go to the focus on the happy.
Right.
But yeah, I do feel that same way. And just to bring it back to Rebecca being pregnant, I thought. Because remember, the lady says something about, like, the green matchbook.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gets that from Sam. So then you're like, oh, her and Sam are going to maybe, like, get back together, or they're going to have a baby or something like that. But it was just like the green matchbook kind of went away, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is, you know, like, let's all those remember things this were was there. Like,
and then.
Yeah. And let's all remember, too, this is pre-writer strike. Okay, so I mean, I could see if this, like, happened in the middle of it, and it's just like, oh, well, shit, like, the writer's strike happened, and
we have to get it done. Yeah.
Not saying it's the worst finale we've ever seen. I mean, just like, we can all agree, it's a great show, and I think we all have blinders because we love the show so much. Because in this day and age, I do believe, and I believe that we brought this up the last time we talked, it's a show that we need, you know, just about hope. Mm-hmm. And redemption and second and third chances, you know, sometimes like one of my favorite storylines this year was definitely Jamie and Roy.
Their relationship. Yeah.
And you know, Roy learning to ride the bike is still between that and smelling his niece's breath are two of the funniest moments in the show, period.
Yeah. Well, and I also really liked when they started training and Roy showed up at his house and it was like 4 a.m. and he was like, but it's 4 a.m. And it was, sorry, I'm just having a moment.
Okay.
But yeah, so like 4 a.m. and then he like pulls out the headlamp. And I just thought that was like a really cool exchange the way they filmed it. And then also just funny that Roy had a headlamp.
Yeah. Yeah, there were the one thing the show did throughout and really this season was like gave you these little snippets into like, oh, this relationship with Roy and Jamie and everything going on with Colin. And it all felt pretty organic. It didn't feel like, oh, we're going to shoehorn this storyline in here or there. And so I really like that. And Keeley's whole, all right, one of the stories that I felt was like, what are we doing here? Was her and Jack?
Yeah.
Why did we do that? That and Zava. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Why did we need these? But
yeah.
At the end of it, I was like, who cares? It was great.
Agreed.
So. Yeah, it was still really good, but that was a weird storyline. I actually forgot about that storyline now that you like mentioned it. I'm like, oh yeah, I totally forgot about Jack and that whole relationship happened because it seemed like it started and then abruptly ended. But yeah,
it was very, very forgettable. And I felt the same way, Tim, with Zava. And I think the premise of them bringing him in was just kind of showing that it's not one player that makes the team.
Yeah.
You know, so I can see that premise of it, even though the guy took up three locker spots and had corny one-liners and the world's biggest avocado. it was definitely comic relief more than anything. But it was more like bringing the team together because you could see, especially after the departure of Nate and, you know, Ted's still going through what he's going through. And of course, you know, Roy still got his demons and everything going on. You know, I mean, did they wrap it up with a bow? Yeah. Was that row like, was that bow rapidly wrapped? 1,000%.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
So, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, too, and at the end, it kind of, like, leaves it, like, up to interpretation if Ted and Michelle are going to get back together. Because I was like, okay, because it seemed the way that when they were watching the game and, like, her interactions with Henry and all of that just made it seem like there was tension between her and that guy that she was dating. And then with Ted home and I don't know, I just feel like there's – that would be something interesting to explore if they do another season. But I don't know if Ted's coming back. Like,
right. Yeah.
Right?
According to him, he said that like his story is done for right now.
Yeah.
You know, they have mentioned spinoffs, you know, you see the little Easter eggs in there, bringing in a women's team, you know, Beard's still there, which was my prediction. So big shout outs to a couple coworkers there, Michael Bilyeu and Jen Lee. And Jen Lee and I, we've been, you know, playing catch up every week, and we had our like predictions of what's going to happen before even before the second to last episode. And I was like, Ted's going home. And I was like, I don't know. I was like, I guarantee you Coach Beard is going to stay. He's going to end up staying. And I thought Nate would be head coach again, but I like that they made Roy head coach and Nate, I guess the assistant or whatever. And whatnot. And there was just, you know, there was some stuff there with the families that was a little bit confusing, like Nate's, you know, relationship with the dad. It's like, so, you know, you've kind of been a hard ass to Nate the entire time. And now he's back to being like a kit man. And now you're like totally happy for him. And then like Jamie's mom was kind of like a weird thing. I mean, it was very cool because I remember how much of a dick that Jamie's father was, I believe, towards the end of season one. Seeing that aspect of it, like rehab, he's visiting his dad, and that's why he's always been just kind of like a prima donna, just because he's always been trying to one-up him. But, you know, I just feel like it's still a great show. Where there's some hiccups, sure. You know, I mean, it's impossible, I feel like, for any show. You know, you either start off slow and end great or vice versa. I feel this one had two solid, solid seasons, and this one – it had its ups and downs, but it wasn't terrible by any means. I mean, I've seen these posts where people are just like, oh, this ridiculous season is finally over with. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, not every episode's been great, but it's still a good show.
Great show.
The biggest criticism I saw was like, they've turned everyone into Ned Flanders.
Oh, golly, don't golly do.
And because even Roy is like much happier, and I was like, I think that's the point. Like, they're showing Ted, who always seems optimistic, always you know, everything, and he's starting to rub off on all of these people.
And
you see him at home, and he's still got his struggles, and you know, his anxiety's not gone. It's definitely still there, but he's learned to manage it a little bit, and he's not, you know, passing out on the sidelines or anything.
And I think they tried to tie that in with that last scene with Roy asking about like getting better. He's still the same person he is, but you know, they have that conversation amongst themselves, and it is more just about continuing to strive to be better. And like, not everybody's perfect or, you know, that kind of stuff, but just continuing to improve on yourself. That like ties into that, you know, that effect Ted Lasso had on everybody, just, you know, whatever that was. And what was I going to say to you? Oh, about Roy being the head coach. I think that makes so much sense because I feel like Roy really is one of the like characters outside of Ted Lasso that like has a pretty big like cult following, I think.
Yeah.
And I think if Nate were to have been made the head coach, like I'm sure that would have pissed off so many more people, but
right.
you can take Ted Lasso and Roy Kent it and people are still going to love it because they love Roy Kent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I need to stop saying, you know what I mean, but
oh, no,
we'll work on that another day.
This is what we do.
Whistle. If season four is Roy Kent taking that team, like, I mean, he's going to tie strings to them every week and, you know, he's going to punish them. But I think it makes sense. I did the same thing. I thought kind of from a real world perspective, like you're not going to take a winning head coach and make him your kit man again.
Right.
Like that doesn't make sense.
Right.
But it's TV. So yeah, you are going to do that.
But I think also with the Roy and Jamie like relationship building and how they went from being like mortal enemies, you know, to even though Roy was really hard on him and was like a total hard ass about practicing and what he could and couldn't do, he also did it with like a very loving, caring side that like wasn't a side that you really saw of him from the beginning of the show outside of like the relationship with his niece, you know?
Yeah. Tough love. Tough love.
Yeah.
And he's definitely the most fleshed out, I think, of anybody. So,
yes.
You know, we care about his niece. We care about his family, you know, his other relationships. So I think if you go a season four, and what I think the thing to do would be is you leave Ted Lasso alone three seasons, it's done.
Yeah.
Make another show that's more the team as a whole. And then you can have all these offshoots of, you know, let's follow Colin for an episode. Let's follow Sam for an episode, whoever.
Right.
Bring in new players. You can do it all, you know?
Yeah. And then with Rebecca running into that guy at the end with his daughter.
Right. Yeah. Right.
That could be like a huge storyline because maybe that's the daughter or the child that's in her future or something along those lines, right? Instead of it being, you know, one that she carries herself for however.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to bring up, talking about kind of leaving it open ended, you know, with relationships and stuff. One thing I thought, Beard's wedding was so insane. It was like
at Stonehenge,
right? it was pretty poorly CGI'd.
Real bad.
So bad. I just rewatched the last episode like this weekend. And I actually think that might have been like Ted dreaming.
A dream.
Yeah. He was having, because as soon as that like ended, he wakes up on the plane. And so I'm like, I wonder if he was just dreaming all of that. And he's like seeing like all these people that he just left behind living their like best lives.
That's exactly what I was going to get to.
I never thought of it like that. That's awesome.
You see Sam with the national team. You see like everyone's dreams coming true.
Right.
Then you see this insane wedding. And it's almost like, well, was any of that real or was all of it real or was, you know, everything real until then? And so it's kind of like I choose to believe it was all real.
Yeah.
And
but at the same time, I mean, I'm over here like my brain is going a million miles an hour ever since you said that. I'm like, but you're right, because I mean, it does seem pretty quick that Sam would be on the national team and then the wedding, and then the Stonehenge and then like Danny, like being a true baller, like kissing two girls on top of that. I was like, wait a minute, what is going on right now?
Not the first time.
Right. Who were some of your like maybe surprise favorite characters from this season that, you know, wasn't really, I don't want to say not on your radar, but who do you like were just totally cheering for this year besides the obvious?
I mean, obviously I really did like Colin.
Yeah.
And that story. Yeah. But May, the one that owns the pub, like I love her character.
Oh God, I love May.
She's so good.
Yeah. And those three guys that are always there.
I love how the three of them got one share, and then May has her stack of shares. And I mean, yeah. I always love it when teams give ownership to the fans. I think it's so great. And I thought, you know, when we saw that newspaper clipping where it's like Rebecca sells the 49% to the fans, I'm like, yes, perfect. She didn't sell the whole team. She sold it to the fans, which is what it's been all about. So that was fun. I mean, to me, I've always liked him, even when he was like dickish in season one. But Trent Krim, formerly Independent. Love me some Trent Krim, man.
So do I. He's so great.
Yeah. And especially when he saw, you know, what Colin was going through. And I like how, like, none of that, you know, seemed forced at all whatsoever. And I feel like with this show, besides, you know, the last 15 minutes of the last episode, like, really none of it has seemed forced, you know, as far as anything that they're trying, I don't want to say put on you, but in terms of just like mental health or whatever it may be, like, everything really felt natural. It's like, because, you know, the first season, you're like, how is this dude so happy-go-lucky? And then you see season two, like, oh, shit, you know, he's got some demons that he's dealing with. You know, like, they just did a really good job with the timing and making it just really seem just genuine and not just like, we just have to throw this in here because these are the times that we're in and we have to make everybody happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
And in that story, I loved McAdoo and how the whole episode you thought, like, he can't be mad. He's gay, right?
Right.
And he's like, why didn't you tell me? And I was like, oh, that's really cute. He's mad. Yeah. He didn't trust him.
And then then they're playing the video game, and then he's having the locker room questions. That's so funny, because I feel like I've had these conversations before with my gay friends. It's like, so in this stipulation, like, how does that work for you? And they're just sitting there playing FIFA, like, you know, figuring out how it all works. Deal.
And I really liked the episode with Ted's mom.
Yeah.
Because it was like, you see where he gets it from, but I hope my mom doesn't listen to this. It's the way we all want to react when mom's like, surprise. It's like, oh God, no, what are you doing? Of course, sleep in my bed. I'm not gonna make you sleep on the couch, mom.
Yeah,
but in the back of your head, you're like, God, I gotta work, I can't. I loved it. It was like, even he's like, oh, I love you, mom, but come on. And that whole scene where he's like, I love you, but
And that's another thing too.
Yeah,
I think this was like a perfectly cast show. Mm-hmm. To be
quite honest with
you. There's not a single person where I'm like, you know, I don't know. I would have picked someone different for that. I feel like everybody played their part to a T.
I think I just recently read an article where they were talking about how, the show hasn't really gained popularity in the UK. And the actor that plays Jamie Tart was like, I swear you guys, I'm famous in the United States. Like, totally. Like, he's like, nobody in the UK knows who he is, but he's like, I am famous in the United States.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, the gentleman that plays Jamie Tart, he's like, none of my friends here overseas believe that I'm famous except for in the States, which is just crazy how it works. I'm sure they look at it and they're probably like, oh, this show with all these wankers there, you know, they're probably yelling wanker at the TV show. Like, they were all yelling wanker at Ted Lasso. I would put it in my top 10 overall as far as TV shows go. I mean, for three seasons, which is relatively short, but you know what? I respect the fact that they did that on their own. Like, it wasn't canceled, and they literally had a 3-year plan for it. And I respect anybody that doesn't try to just keep it going for profit or to jump the shark, because that's what happens with shows. Yeah. You know, we just get to a certain point where it's like, all right, now we're just at the absolutely ridiculous right now, to where it's completely unbelievable.
And then you can't even finish watching it because you're
right. You know, we've had that happen with so many shows like True Blood and things like that. And I'm glad, like, it's three seasons, so it's short, but at the same time, I mean, some of the best shows are 4 to 5 seasons long. You know, we had 4 seasons of Ozark, some of the best television on the planet. Breaking Bad, 5 seasons. And that's one where it's like, the first season isn't that great. It really got better as the seasons
went on.
Where Ted Lasso was really great seasons 1 and 2. And like I said, 3 to me wasn't a complete fall off where some critics are like, shit show's over with. It's like, calm down. Okay.
It's still week to week. I was like, oh, it's Wednesday. That's Ted Lasso day.
Right.
Like, you know, it was, it was that feeling that we used to have when it was like, it's 8 o'clock on Thursday. I need to be in front of a TV. It was like, it's Wednesday. I can watch it right now.
Oh, yeah. God forbid you did that DVR and you went to the bathroom. It's coming back up.
I know.
And then you made a mad dash to come back in. Yeah. And I mean, it's been a, you know, it's been a rough week for a lot of us here. And I mean, I don't want to get into it too much, but, you know, we wrapped up Ted Lasso, Succession wrapped up, you know, we're getting ready to, and now with the writer strike, you know, I feel like we're getting ready to hit the dark ages.
You're about to see, like, you're about to see a lot of reality TV.
Oh God, too much. Not that we don't see too much anyways. And I mean, I love my Selling Sunset. Don't get me wrong. That's my guilty pleasure, but I actually stopped watching that after season three. So
I go deep in the the reality dark hole. It's not good.
I think our season two recap ended this same way, going talking about Love Island and The Bachelor and all.
Oh my gosh, 90 Days
Below
Fiance.
Deck.
90 Days Fiance. If you guys haven't watched that show, it's wild, and they have like they're running it into the ground. But I'm here for the. I'm here for the crash at the bottom, because it's like they just keep adding, like, before the 90 days, after the 90 days, way.
Well, they gotta let you out of the municipal dungeon that they currently have you at, so you can actually.
I know, right? They just like threw me in here.
They just threw the logo, like, on the side.
You know, go to Boston for 2 weeks. Come home and sit in the basement and work.
Come home. She's currently listening out there. She's underneath the pop up in Boston.
I know, right? Blink twice if you need help.
She won't stop blinking. As always, Tim, Rihanna, thank you so much for joining us. Hang out for just a second. As always, big thank you to our sponsors, the Believe Podcast Network, Yes Weekly, BetOnline.ag, Municipal Sports Utility Gear, and of course, Sailfish Comics. On behalf of everyone from Zero Dark Nerdy, this is your boy, Brian, and we'll see you next time. Peace.
You have victory!
And anger management?
Fuck anger management.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.